Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. 16 years ago, a computer made chess history by defeating the reigning world champion, Garry Kasparov. It was the first time a machine had beaten the highest-ranking chess master under normal tournament conditions. Mike Lanchin has been speaking to two men who saw it happen.
It's February 10th, 1996. An historic game of chess between a world champion and a machine has just drawn to a sudden and unexpected conclusion.
We were in shock because it had happened. It had finally happened. A computer had defeated the best of the best.
A computer called Deep Blue has made chess history by defeating the world champion, Garry Kasparov. The machine triumphed over man in the first of six games in Philadelphia.
At that point, no world champion had ever been defeated in what we would say a tournament-length game by a computer. So the world champion had plenty of time to think, and the computer still managed to win.
It had taken Deep Blue, a computer designed by IBM, just over 3 hours and 39 moves to inflict the humiliating defeat on the Russian grandmaster, considered possibly the best chess player ever. Veteran chess commentator Maurice Ashley and grandmaster Joel Benjamin were both there, watching in amazement.
Kasparov was devastated. He wears his emotions on his sleeve. He resigned the game. He left in a huff. And he even left his score sheet, which is not something Kasparov is wont to do.
I think it totally knocked Kasparov for a loop. I believe that he didn't think it could happen, that maybe someday a computer could do it. I don't think he thought it could happen then. It was a real shock for him.
Kasparov would later describe that defeat as a deserved massacre and admit that he had underestimated the power of the machine. But how did it beat him? And was this really the beginning of the victory of machine over man?
And the computer has resigned.
The operator has resigned for the computer. Brilliant game by Kasparov, but very surprising.
I must admit, the computer really did not show its stuff in the first part of this game.
Less than a year earlier, Kasparov had beaten a computer named Fritz in London. He'd also played and won other ties against the early computer models back in the 1980s. Following his victory over Fritz, Kasparov spoke to the press in characteristically buoyant mood.
When you play machine, probably you should forget about the brilliance. Even if the moves that you are making are not great, are not very attractive, are quite dull and boring, so what? You know, this is here we are trying to prove our superiority.
That quest to prove who could get the upper hand on the chessboard, man or machine, had led the computer giant IBM to plough funds and some of its best researchers into developing first a computer called Deep Thought, which Kasparov played and beat in 1989, and then its successor, Deep Blue. With plans afoot for a rematch against Kasparov, IBM asked Joel Benjamin to come along and try the machine out.
I had some experience playing against computers, so I was ready for the challenge. But what I didn't realize is that after I won the match 2-0, they were very impressed by not only the way I played, but how I seemed to understand how the computer approached the game. So they invited me to work as a consultant in preparation for the match.
So you actually thought you were just going to test your skills against a computer, and it actually turned out to be a job interview?
Yeah, I was very surprised at how that turned out, but luckily for me, I was just hitting a little bit of a downturn in my playing career. I didn't have anything else going on, so I was very excited about the challenge. There were some chess players that would have felt very awkward about being on the side of the machine against, you know, playing against humanity, but to me it just seemed like a great challenge.
A challenge indeed. Working with the programmers, Joel had to come up with dozens of new sequences and moves to give Deep Blue more options. But as the day for the opening match against Kasparov approached, Joel and his team were still uncertain how it would all work out.
We were staying at the hotel in Philadelphia where the match was played, and on the eve of the start of the match, we really had no idea what kind of Deep Blue we were going to get, whether it was going to be the machine that could play brilliantly and beat a grandmaster, or whether it was going to make mistakes that are actually obvious to most humans.
Did you manage to get much sleep that night before the first game?
I think I managed to sleep okay eventually, but I think, yeah, we were all very nervous when the game started.
In the morning, as the spectators filed into the hall where the game would take place, Joel and the IBM team weren't the only ones feeling the heat, as commentator Maurice Ashley recalls.
Kasparov seemed a bit nervous at the beginning. You could get the feeling that it was not a natural match for him. One of his big things is his psychological bravado. He's able to intimidate by his very presence, the way he walks, the way he moves. When he was there, he seemed like he just didn't know how exactly to use this intimidating force, the stare and stance of his.
Deep Blue's programmer and Kasparov were sitting face to face. The programmer was forbidden from looking at his opponent across the table. Each time Kasparov made a move, the computer would whir into action, calculating its own move, then sending the reply to the programmer, sometimes just a minute later. Joel Benjamin and the Deep Blue team looked on, anxiously, from another room.
It was very weird to be so invested in the game, but actually not having any responsibility for it at that point, because there was nothing that we could do one way or the other to affect the outcome of the game. I mean, it was, in a way, it made it more stressful, but in another way, you know, at least we knew that we couldn't make any kind of mistake on it.
But far from making mistakes, Deep Blue, it seemed, was beginning to get the measure of its opponent.
After being very relaxed in the first 13, 14 moves, the game suddenly took a dramatic turn when Kasparov allowed his king side to be shattered open. Normally, you don't like your king to be opened up too much because you never know tactically what might happen. And that's a computer's forte, the ability to calculate very deeply and look at these long string of attacks.
Then, at move 23, a game-changing moment, as the computer was offered a pawn by Kasparov, apparently in order to divert attention from his attack on the other side of the board.
Kasparov had begun to mount an assault against the computer's king, and he had decided to give away this pawn because he felt there's no way in the world it would capture this pawn, no way that it could be a good idea. But the computer bravely ripped the pawn off the board because it had calculated that Kasparov's attack did not work. This was a huge moment when all of us were in shock. We thought, wait a second, Kasparov's going to get a great attack. Computers do this materialistically, grabbing stuff, not realizing that they're going to get checkmated on the other side because it's just too far ahead to think. But the computer had calculated it all down to the T. Just a few moves later, we saw that Kasparov was busted and was going to lose the game.
The IBM team was ecstatic.
Sitting in that control room with those monitors, I compared it to, you know, like being mission control in Houston. When, you know, we landed on the moon, it was, you know, that kind of feeling.
They had finally proved that a computer could beat the best player in the world. But Kasparov did get his revenge, beating the computer in three of their next five games. A year later, a heavily upgraded Deep Blue won a six-game rematch. 16 years on, Joel Benjamin says it's now inconceivable that anyone could have ever doubted the machine's supremacy over man.
You know, we've come a tremendous way in that time, so much so that today a lot of people don't even remember the days when the computer move wasn't just assumed to be the correct move. The time when humans were thought to know better than the computers. It's almost a distant memory now.
Chess Grandmaster Joel Benjamin. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.